Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Cheva Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jayam Udirayat Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 7, Chapter entitled The Son of Drona Punished, Text Number 26. Kimidam swit kuto veti.
Kimidam swit kuto veti.
Deva deva na vedmyaham.
Deva deva na vedmyaham.
Savato mukam ayati.
Savato mukam ayati.
Teja parama darunam.
Teja parama darunam.
Kim, what is?
What is?
Idam,
Idam.
This.
This.
Swit.
Swit.
Does it come?
Does it come?
Kuta.
Kuta.
Where from?
Where from?
Va iti.
Va iti.
Be either.
Be either.
Deva
deva. Deva deva.
O Lord of Lords.
O Lord of Lords.
Na.
Na.
Not. Vedmi, do I know? Aham, I. Sarvata,
all around.
Mukam, directions.
Ayati,
coming from. Teja,
effulgence.
Parama,
very much.
Darunam,
dangerous.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. O Lord of Lords, how is it that this dangerous effulgence is spreading all around? Where does it come from? I do not understand it. Translation responsibly.
O Lord of Lords,
how is it that this dangerous effulgence?
How is it that this dangerous effulgence?
Is spreading all around. Where does it come from?
I do not understand it.
Purport. Anything that is presented before the personality of Godhead should be done so. Should be so done after due presentation of respectful prayers. That is the standard procedure. And Sri Arjuna, although an intimate friend of the Lord, is observing this method for general information. Omagyan Tivanandasya Ginanjana Shalakaya Chakshurunyanitamena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati swa padantikam Vancha kaupa tarubhyascha kripa sindhu vyevacha Petitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Gadadha Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktivrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So this is the first time that we see Krishna in the Srimad Bhagavatam. How do we see Krishna? The first time we see him, what is he doing? What's Krishna doing right now? is Partha Sarati. Partha Sarati means the chariot driver of Arjuna. First time we see Krishna, he is serving his devotee. So that's how we see Krishna the first time in the Bhagavatam, as Bhakta Vatsala. Krishna has unlimited qualities, but of all of his qualities, the most important quality is Bhakta Vatsala. Bhakta Vatsala means he is very affectionate to his devotees. So that is his preeminent quality, or his primary quality. He's very affectionate to his devotees. So the first time that we see Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, what is he doing? Right, driving the chariot of Arjuna. And then when we see him first time in the Bhagavatam, same thing. He is driving the chariot of Arjuna, Partha Sarathi. You have to understand, in Vedic culture, a chariot driver is not a respectable or a highly respectable position. Just like in our culture, if someone's a taxi driver, right, then we don't see that as being very high class like that. It's not considered a high class job. If a devotee is a taxi driver, we do not pass judgment on the devotee. Because you should not see the devotee according to external qualifications. You should see the devotee according to internal qualifications. Just like in our movement, then Jayananda Prabhu, who was one of Prabhupada's very early disciples, then he drove a taxi in 1968 to maintain the Los Angeles temple in Hyatt Ashbury. Sorry, San Francisco. The San Francisco temple in Hyde Ashbury, he was driving a taxi. So we cannot pass judgment on devotee and say, oh, that is low class. Because both Vishnujan Swami and Tamal Krishna Maharaj, they both joined together. They were good friends when they joined. And Prabhupada said in their previous life, they'd actually been cousins. And then in this life, they're very close friends. So then when they joined the movement, Vishnujan Swami, he was walking up and down the streets in Hyde Ashbury in San Francisco, playing flutes and selling flutes. He made flutes, like out of bamboo, and then he would walk up and down the street all day playing them, and people would stop and he'd play and then he'd sell them a flute. He'd make flutes and he'd sell them flutes. And then Tamal Krishna Maharaj, he was working in a Kodak film factory, and his job was that he'd get the film. In the old days, they had like long, big film. He'd get the film, and he'd have to walk it through the ultra-red, infrared light. So he'd get the film, and he'd walk it through the light, and then when it got to the other end, then he'd walk back again through the light. So then the film would develop. So this is a very, you could say, like a brainless job, not a very satisfying job. Tamokrish, he didn't like doing the job, but he had to do the job to support the temple. So then, Vishnujan, he used to say to Tamokrish Maharaj, they were both brahmacharis at the time, he said that my job is higher than yours, because I am making flutes, and Krishna is a cowherd boy, and he plays the flute. So I've got the flutes, and I'm going down the street selling the flutes. This is higher than working in a Kodak film factory. So he said, like, your job is like the job of a sutra, and my job is like the job of a brahmana, because I'm making flutes and doing all that. So then they took the matter to the senior devotees and to Prabhupada, and Prabhupada said, no, both are equal. Both are the same, because they're being offered to Krishna. So no matter what the devotee does, whatever service you do for Krishna, it is equal, and it gives equal pleasure to Krishna. The main thing that Krishna is looking for is what is in the heart of the devotee. What is the offering of love and affection within the heart? So regardless of what the service is, it is the attitude of the devotee. And Srila Prabhupada says in the Nectar of Instruction, he says that spiritual advancement depends upon the attitude of the devotee. What is our attitude while we're doing the service? Anyone can do the service practically. Just like all of us can sweep the floor of the temple, right? Class finishes, right? Everyone goes out. Any of us can do the service. You don't need special qualifications to sweep the floor. It's not a highly technical service. Any of us can do it. But then, how will Krishna see it? He will see what is the attitude of the devotee who is doing the service. Is he doing it with love and devotion? Is he doing it out of affection to me? Or is he doing it thinking, why do I have to do the floor? Why am I sweeping the floor? How come everyone else gets to do all the good services and I have to sweep the floor? So Krishna looks for the attitude while we're doing the service. So the devotee, he is serving Krishna out of love. And Krishna himself takes the position of a chariot driver. Now, in Vedic culture, as we said, that's like being a taxi driver. It's not a very high-class position, or it's not a very highly respected position. It's actually considered a sudra position, or it's actually a service of a shudra. It's a sudra class of position in Vedic culture. They would drive the kshatriyas around. It's interesting because in the Vedic civilization, only the higher classes would go on vehicles, right? Brahmanas, usually Brahmanas would walk because Brahmanas are very renounced by nature. Kshatriyas would have chariots, right? Very wealthy Brahmanas, maybe they would go on chariots or something like that. But the Shudras would never go on a chariot. And this is one of the defects of Kali Yuga. Every Shudra has a chariot. Everyone has a car in Kali Yuga. And look how much trouble they get themselves into. In Vedic culture, you do not give the Shudras vehicles. Because they get themselves and other people into trouble. You see, these days, everyone has a car and they get themselves into trouble. They go to the wrong places and do the wrong things. They cause all sorts of problems for themselves. And they also cause problems for other people. So that is the defect of the culture. In the Vedic culture, a Shudra would never ride on a chariot. It was not permissible. Only the Kshatriyas, only the very high class, they would ride on the chariot. So Krishna, to show how much love he has for his devotee, then he says to Arjuna, I will drive the chariot. Right? Normally, the devotee would drive Krishna. Krishna would stand on the chariot and the devotee would drive. Just like if you look in the Nectar of Devotion, what is the name of Krishna's chariot driver? Daruka. When Krishna is in Dwarka, Daruka is Krishna's chariot driver. So normally, if you go to Dwarka, you won't see Krishna driving a chariot. Right? You won't see Krishna on a chariot. Sorry, you won't see Krishna driving a chariot. You'll see him always on the chariot. And yet, when he goes to Hastinapur, or he goes to Indraprastha, where Arjuna is, and then when he goes onto the battle of Kurukshetra, the battlefield, then he drives the chariot. So before the battle took place, Yudhishthira and Duryodhana, they had to assemble their armies. So then Arjuna and Duryodhana, they went to see Krishna. To ask him to please fight on their behalf during the battle of Kurukshetra. So they arrived at the same time, and when they got to the Krishna's room, Krishna was taking rest. So both of them came into the room and Krishna was resting. So then Duryodhana, he went and sat at the head, or next to Krishna's head. When Krishna was lying down, he was sitting next to Krishna's head. And Arjuna, in the mood of being a devotee or a servant, he sat at Krishna's feet. So Krishna rested for some time, and both Duryodhana and Arjuna were thinking, I hope that when he wakes up, then he will see me first. So then Krishna woke up, and he immediately sat up, and he saw Arjuna first. Because Krishna is Paramatma, he is all-knowing. So he knew that Arjuna and Duryodhana were there. So he sat up straight away and saw Arjuna. He said, Arjuna, you are here. And then he turned around and said, oh, Duryodhana, you're also here. So he said to Arjuna, what do you want? What charity have you? You've come to me as a king. I have to give charity. What do you want? What do you beg? And he said that I want you and your army to fight on my side, on Yudhishthira's side, during the battle of Kurukshetra. And then he turned to Duryodhana and said, Duryodhana, what do you want? And he said, I want you and your army to fight with me against Yudhishthira and Arjuna on the battle of Kurukshetra. So then, Arjuna, because he'd asked first, then Krishna said, I'll give Arjuna the first choice. He said, you can have me as a non-fighting participant in the battle, or you can have my army, my personal army, my bodyguards. You can have my army or you can have me. Arjuna said, I want you, Krishna. I want you. Because if you are with me, right, then I know that we'll be victorious. If you are with me, then we cannot be defeated. So Duryodhana, he acted like he was very upset. He said, oh no, I don't have Krishna. I didn't get Krishna, I only got the army. But inside he was thinking, good, I got Krishna's army. They can have Krishna, I'll take the army. So then the battle took place, and Krishna, he said, he took a vow at the beginning of the battle that he would not fight. He said he would be a non-participatory member of the battle. In other words, he'd only drive the chariot. So then during the battle itself, then Bhishma, then Krishna had made Bhishma break his vow. Because during the battle went for 18 days. The first 10 days, Bhishma was the commander-in-chief of the Kaurava army. So the first day of the battle, when the battle began, day one, Bhishma, he killed by himself 10,000 chariot warriors. 10,000 warriors on chariots. Bhishma, just by himself, he killed 10,000 of them. So on the first day, the Kauravas got the upper hand. But the rest of the battle, the Pandavas got the upper hand. But the first day, they got the upper hand. So then after 7 or 8 days of the battle and been going on, and Bhishma was just destroying, you know, unlimited amount of warriors. And then Duryodhana came to him in the evening and he said, you're killing so many warriors, you haven't killed one Pandava. He said, you're just being biased. You have some special affection to the Pandavas. That's why you're not destroying them. Bhishma said, tomorrow I will kill all five of them. Because a Kshatriya cannot be insulted. And he said, then tomorrow I will kill all five of them. So he had 5 silver arrows. So he got these 5 silver arrows and he put them in a box and he gave them to Duryodhana. And he said, tomorrow you ride behind me. In your chariot, you follow me. Right? I'll be riding in the battle in my chariot and then you'll be right behind me. And whenever I ask for one of these arrows, you give it to me and I will kill. I'll use each of these arrows to kill the 5 Pandavas. So then after Duryodhana, he was very happy. So he walked out of Bhishma's tent and he had the 5 arrows. And then he was walking back to his tent and then he met Krishna. Because after the battle each day, they would go to each other's... During the day they would try to kill each other, but in the night, sometimes they would go to each other's tents, to each other's camps, and they would even sometimes have dinner with each other. It's incredible, the culture. You know, someone you're trying to kill during the day, and then at night time you go and have dinner. Right? And you talk about, oh, that was a good fight today, and then tomorrow I'm going to kill you. He said, no, I'll destroy half of your army tomorrow, don't worry. Like that. And then they go back. This is Vedic culture. Even an enemy comes to your home, you treat them like God, actually, it says. You treat them like a very respectful person. It's an incredible culture. You know, it's very hard to even see this culture these days, but such an incredible culture. So, Duryodhana, he was walking out of the tent and he had the 5 arrows and he met Krishna. And he said, oh, Krishna, you've come to our camp. He said, what do you want? Because Kshatriyas, you always have to give charity. That is the religious principle of the Kshatriya. So whenever someone comes to a Kshatriya, they have to give some charity. So he said, oh, Krishna, you've come. What do you want? And he said, can I have that box of silver arrows that you have? And Duryodhana thought, Kshatriyas, they cannot refuse charity. So he gave him the box. He walked away. Next day on the battlefield, And Bhishma said to Duryodhana, in the beginning they were just about to start the day, riding off in their chariots. He said, okay, you stay behind me, and whenever I ask for those arrows, you give me one arrow. And he said, well, last night I met Krishna and he begged charity. And he thought, Bhishma was very upset, because they were in a very, you don't go on the battlefield with a very peaceful mind. You go into the battlefield like you're worked up, like you're ready to destroy and kill. So Bhishma, he was very upset. So he went onto the battle. He went onto the battlefield and he said to Duryodhana, he said, I will take a vow today, I will kill Partha. I will kill Arjuna today. I will fight him so hard that the only way he will survive is if Krishna himself breaks his vow and gets off the chariot and protects him. Because Krishna said he took a vow that he will not fight on this battlefield. He broke my vow that tomorrow I will kill all five Pandavas with these arrows. He said, so I will make him break his vow. These are chaturis. This is called, there are 12 rasas. Five primary rasas and seven secondary rasas in relationship to Krishna. So one of the second secondary rasas, seven secondary rasas, is chivalrous ras. So Krishna, he likes this chivalrous ras. In Goloka Vrindavan, this chivalrous ras, it takes the form of flower fights. Everyone has flower fights. They all throw flowers at each other. Or Holi, they all throw colours at each other. Or Jalkeli, they all get in the water and they use syringes and they all water fights. That's as much as it gets in Goloka. So that's good fun. It's nice to be with your friends and have some, flower fight or holy fight or water fight. That's good fun. But there's another fun, is when you kill someone. That's another type of fun. George Washington, he was one of the first presidents of the United States. He said there's a very special feeling. He didn't say it like that, but he said it's a very special experience. He said when you're on a battlefield and you can hear bullets whistling past your ears. Like that. He said it's a special feeling. You can't really get it anywhere else. It's special. It's a good feeling. It's in the material world. It's not in the spiritual world. Yeah. And you go to the spiritual world, there isn't any of this kind of chivalrous rust. But in the material world, even Krishna himself comes into this world to have this fighting experience. Like that. It's very pleasurable. I remember it was about 5 years ago, I think, 4 or 5 years ago, we were in India. We're doing the retreats with Burujan Prabhu and Sachinandan Swami at Govardhan Hill, Govardhan Retreat. And at that time, near the end of the retreat, the devotees in Kazakhstan, they were attacked by the government, and the government came with bulldozers while it was snowing, snow everywhere, it was very cold there. And they came with bulldozers and they began to push down the devotees' houses on their farm. They had a little farm in Kazakhstan. Very demoniac. So they came and they began to push down the devotees' houses. So immediately, Bhakti Bringa Govinda Maharaj, B.B. Govinda Maharaj, he is the GBC for that area. So he was in Vrindavan at the time. So then he went to Delhi. And then all the devotees were called from all over Delhi in Vrindavan. So we got a phone call at the retreat. Everyone come. So we all came. We all got on buses. The retreat was going on. We just stopped the retreat, got on buses. Everyone went to Delhi. So hundreds of thousands of devotees came from all around Delhi, all around that area of India. And then we all lined up and then we marched towards the Kazakhstan embassy, to protest so that they would stop this, what was going on in Kazakhstan. So there's thousands of devotees and we all lined up and everyone was chanting. In India when they have protests and everyone gets very kind of worked up like this. So they're going down the road and one devotee was saying in Hindi, I don't know what they were saying, but they were saying dun 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 dun, and everyone was going da da. have you seen in India when they do this? They have a protest, everyone goes da da. In India they really get worked up, So we're all going down the road and everyone's going da da like this, and the devotee said something in Hindi and everyone goes da. So I didn't even know what we were saying, but I was going da da. So we're all going down the road, da da. But everyone started getting really worked up. Like, and then I got that feeling, oh, maybe we're going to die. You know, maybe we're going to get there and there's going to be, there's soldiers there with machine guns protecting the embassy. Like, it was, you know, quite a heated situation. So I thought, well, maybe we're going to die. Maybe we're all going to charge the embassy and smash it all down. Because everyone was getting really worked up, you know. And then I thought, well, you know, the feeling, it was a good feeling. It was like, okay, well, this is Kurukshetra. You know, we're going to die for Krishna, so let's die. So everyone was getting really worked up. So it's a special feeling. Even Krishna himself comes to the material world to experience that rasa, of that fighting rasa, that chivalrous rasa. So then we got to the embassy, and all the guards were there with machine guns, and devotees were really getting worked up. They actually had a barricade before we got to the embassy, and devotees just pushed the barricade over, and all the soldiers went back. And then when we got to the embassy, there was like the Gurkhas, you know, like the elite Indian, you know, these guys were totally calm. They weren't worried about anything. I mean, these were like, you know, SAS. They were very super, like, paramilitary warriors. They're chachris, these guys. They're real chachris. They're just standing with the machine guns, just looking at us. Thousands of us. They weren't even disturbed. They're just looking at us, trying to let you know. You know, if they come one step further, we'll just kill them all. It's like, you know, they were very like that. But the devotees were actually getting worked up. So then one Mataji, the jeep came along, and then the military jeep came along, and one Mataji got out. She was dressed like a soldier, like a high-ranking officer, and she got out. She just said, hey, shanti, shanti, everyone just calm down, calm down. And then one sadhu is like a big baba. He was obviously a well-known sadhu. He said, hey, shanti, everyone just calm. So we all sat down and like that. So it didn't actually, there was no fight like that. But the feeling was there. Yeah. So even Krishna himself, he comes to experience that feeling in this material world. So on the battlefield, then Bhishma, he said, well, if Krishna has broken my vow, then I will break his vow. So then Bhishma, he fought Arjuna so ferociously, Arjuna was actually being overcome by Bhishma. And Bhishma could have actually killed Arjuna. He actually had him completely distraught. He was at a point where he was ready to kill him, that final arrow, and he could have just shot him. So Krishna, he could not tolerate that. So even though he'd taken a vow that I will not fight, he jumped off the chariot like a lion, and he picked up a chariot wheel, because his vow was actually, I will not take up a weapon. That was his vow. So he picked up a chariot wheel, because that's not a weapon. And he just picked it up and he ran to Bhishma. You know, you see that famous BBT picture. And he had it, and he just picked it up, and he was going to destroy Bhishma. And Bhishma just put down his weapons and he said, let me die now. This is my perfection. Krishna himself is going to kill me. He said, just kill me. He said, this is it. He was in ecstasy. He said, just kill me now. This is perfection. You know, we've fought so hard. I've made him break his vow. You know, he made me break my vow. I've made it now. It could not get any better for Bhishma. You know, he was completely ecstatic. And then Arjuna grabbed Krishna from behind and he said, hey, you took your vow, do not. Plus he's our grandfather, you can't kill him like that. So he pulled him back. And then later, then Bhishma, you'll see in the next few chapters, in chapter 10, you'll see Bhishma. He actually gets the benediction to die with Krishna's feet on his chest. Because he wants to die seeing Krishna. That was the last thing he wanted to see. So then he actually got the benediction that he will die, and Krishna put his feet on his chest, and then he left the world just meditating on Krishna. So this is Krishna's position. Krishna is bhakta vatsala. That is Krishna's most glorious quality. His most glorious quality is that he loves his devotees so much that he will even break his vows to protect his devotees. That is the intensity of Krishna's love, and that is his most wonderful quality. So here we see in this part of the Bhagavatam that Krishna is showing the position of Bhakta Vatsala. This is the first time you see Krishna. First time you see him in the Bhagavad Gita, he's driving the chariot of Arjuna out of love. If someone becomes your chauffeur, they only do that out of love. Just like you give, like, say, I'm trying to think of a good example. Okay, say, like, your good friend is Prince Charles, right? So he's a very, in this day and age, he's a very considered to be like a very high class, prestigious person. So say he's your friend. When he was young, he came to school in Geelong. He went to Geelong Grammar for 1 or 2 years. Right? So he lived in Australia. So he must have friends from when he was here, 30, 40 years ago. He must have friends. So if he sees one of his friends, you know, when they come and see him, you know, in front of Windsor Palace or Buckingham Palace, they must be like, oh, Charles, you know, Prince, like that. But when they go inside and they close the doors, there's no photographers around, then they just, you know, joke around, they get each other in a headlock, and they say, yeah, you remember, like, you know, when we were kids, you know, I used to fight you, you know, you think you're tough. And they're just playing around. So it's all gone, all the awe and reverence. So then, they're just in Windsor Palace, they're out in the grounds, right? So normally when Charles goes anywhere, when he leaves Windsor Palace, and he goes out around England, then he gets in the back of the Rolls Royce and the chauffeur drives him. But then if he's there in Windsor Palace, right, and his friend's there, he just goes out and there's a Land Rover, you know, just sitting there, and he says, hey, just jump in, I'll drive. So he doesn't think like, oh, I'm the prince and I like that. No, he just loves his friend and he just wants to be the driver. He does some service for his friend. So similarly, Krishna, he prefers to be the servant. Krishna prefers to serve as opposed to being the master. And that is the entire purpose of the advent or descent of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because Krishna, he was seeing that Srimati Radharani, she is serving me. But her service to me gives her greater pleasure as the ashraya, or the abode of the love. She gets more pleasure than I do as the vishaya. This is explained by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami in the beginning of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. The vishaya means the object of love. So the object of love is Krishna. All the devotees, they love Krishna. He is the object of the love. And the ashraya, that is the devotee. The devotee means ashraya, means the abode of love. The love is within the devotee. But Krishna sees that Srimati Radharani, she has greater pleasure being the one who is giving the love than Krishna does by receiving the love. So then Krishna, he desires, or he covets, or he desires, let me also have that experience. So then he appears as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And what is the purpose of his appearance? To experience the love of Srimati Radharani for Krishna. So Krishna takes two things from Radharani. What does he take? Her complexion. Her jyoti. Jyoti means her effulgence or her complexion. And her bhav. Bhav means her mood. So Krishna takes the mood of Radharani, and he also takes the complexion of Radharani. So then Shama Sundara becomes Gaura Sundara. That beautiful blackish Krishna, he becomes golden. And he looks the same molten gold like Srimati Radharani. So he takes that beautiful form of Radharani, that effulgent color of Radharani, and he takes her mood. And then he experiences what it is like to be a servant of Krishna. And then he teaches all of us how to serve Krishna. So he has two reasons why he appears. One is internal, one is external. External means the reason why he comes externally is to propagate the Sankirtan movement, to spread the holy name. And he personally did that in his life. He went out for a total of 6 years, traveling around India, and everywhere he went, he did Harinam Sankirtan, chanting the holy name, always reminding others of Krishna. He would do huge kirtans, and it would say that he would leave. Quite often he would stay the night at someone's place. Someone would let Lord Chaitanya come and stay. And then in the morning, he'd usually get up before it was light, and he would just start walking. Quite often just by himself, or he had his servant with him, he'd just walk. And then he'd just do kirtan, and then by the end of the day, sometimes there would be hundreds and thousands of people with Lord Chaitanya, wherever he went. This was his mood in spreading Krishna consciousness. wherever he went, he would just chant the holy name and make everyone conscious of Krishna. I also have a very good friend who is in this mood. His name is Rupa Raghunath Prabhu. Does anyone know him?
Yeah.
Rupa Raghunath Prabhu. Yeah, he's a very famous devotee, very good friend of mine. So he is also in this mood of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. My wife, Veda Priya, she was up at Byron Bay a couple of years ago. They have one nice restaurant there run by a friend of mine called Subhadra. So it's called the Cardamom Pot. So she was at the Cardamom Pot with one of her friends having lunch. And then from around the corner she could hear a kirtan coming. And she thought, who is that? Who is doing a kirtan? A harinam. So when it came around the corner, it was Rupa Raghunath Prabhu and his wife Krishna Rupa. So she was playing Ridanga, Rupa was playing cartels, and they had Brindavaneshwari, their baby was on Rupa's back. So the baby's on the back and he's playing cartels, and they're just walking from the car park, they parked their car, and walking from the car park to the restaurant to take prasad, and they were doing harinam. They do this wherever they go. This is their level of Krishna consciousness. They spread Krishna consciousness wherever they go. And then when they finish prasadam, they sat down, have prasadam. And then when they finish prasadam, they wash their hands, get the mridanga, get the cartels, go back to the car, do harinam. Very exceptional devotees. Krishna Rupa Mataji, she was initiated by Bir Krishna Goswami. And he was telling a story when they got married at their wedding at New Gokul. Then Bir Krishna Goswami said they came on a tour with him and other devotees to South India. So on the tour, they went around South India, all different temples, and they were doing harinam and book distribution everywhere they went. And then after lunch, they had buses, and then devotees would go on the buses and take some rest after lunch before they went to the next place. But Rupa Raghunath Prabhu and Krishna Rupa Mataji, they were so enthusiastic, so fired up. While everyone else was resting, they would just do harinam together. One would play kartals, the other one played mridanga. They'd stand outside the bus and just do harinam while all the pilgrims were walking past. So Bir Krishna Maharaj, he was telling the story at their wedding, and then he said that all the other devotees were resting after lunch. So he got up and he pulled the window down the bus and he said, "Stop chanting Hare Krishna." And he said it's the first time he's ever had to tell anyone to stop chanting Hare Krishna. Because everyone else was taking rest, so they needed to take some rest. But they're so transcendental and so enthusiastic, they were just doing harinam. But all the other devotees were resting, so he said, you know, stop chanting, or go and chant somewhere where, you know, we can all still have some rest. So that is how enthusiastic they are in spreading. This is Lord Chaitanya's mood, is to always give Krishna consciousness to everyone. Even Rupa Raghunath Prabhu tells me that sometimes he goes on the plane. He gets on the plane, he goes from Melbourne to, or from Sydney to India. And then while he's on the plane, traveling, you know, the plane going for like 12 hours from here to India, then he gets books and he starts at the back of the plane and then he walks up the aisles and then he does book distribution to the passengers in the aisles while he's on the plane. And quite often the hostess comes and tells him to stop it and to sit down like that, because you're not supposed to sell things on Singapore Airlines. So then when they tell him to stop, then he stops and he sits down. But this is his enthusiasm, so enthusiastic, the mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Wherever you go, whoever you meet, tell them about Krishna, give them an opportunity. This is what Lord Chaitanya was like. And some devotees are also in this mood. This is his external reason for appearing. And the internal reason for appearing is to understand the mood of devotion to Krishna. So to understand the internal mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, first you have to understand the external mood. When you understand the external mood, then you'll understand the internal mood simultaneously. So this is why Krishna appears in this world, now to show the mood of being Bhakta Vatsala. And Lord Chaitanya is the most merciful incarnation. So it is Krishna in that in the strongest mood of being Bhakta Vatsala, or being the being merciful to his devotees. Lord Chaitanya is the most merciful personality, the most merciful incarnation of God. So we'll stop here and we'll see if there are any questions or comments on what we have discussed. Kali, Nama, Rupe, Krishna, Avatar. In the age of Kali, the form of Krishna, or the Krishna Avatar in the age of Kali, is Nama, Rupe, or the Nama, Rupe, or the holy name of Krishna. So the holy name of Krishna is none different from Krishna. So when you go through the streets and you're chanting on Harinam Sankirtan, and you're chanting the holy name of Krishna, the Hare Krishna mantra, Radha and Krishna are actually present, that place becomes Goloka Vrindavan, it becomes purified. And when you chant the names of Nitai Gaur, then they manifest. And then the place becomes purified. Is that what you're asking?
Yeah. And how come it's so much easier to chant Hare Krishna, let's say, on Harinam and Kirtan, actually Jagar? Is it because you're picking up on the presence of other devotees chanting, or is it that
the reason we struggle with our japa is because we don't have a taste for chanting. So you have to develop a taste for chanting. It means you have to cultivate your chanting. You have to chant with feeling, actually, and attention, like that. It's easier. It actually says there are three types of kirtan. There is japa, kirtan, and sankirtan. So japa means we chant by ourselves privately. Kirtan means we chant out loud privately. And then sankirtan means you chant with other devotees. So the most potent is Harinam Sankirtan when you go out into public. Because then not only are you chanting for yourself, but you're chanting for the benefit of others. So that's why we become so ecstatic. Yeah? Like we become so blissful when we're on Harinam Sankirtan. Just like on Thursday, on Gauripanim, we're going to do a special Harinam Sankirtan. I think it'll be starting at 12 o'clock in front of Crossways, Gopals. So we'll be doing a special Harinam Sankirtan for the pleasure of Lord Chaitanya. So there is great ecstasy found in the holy name. Because you're not just doing it for yourself, but you're chanting for the benefit of others. But then when you get that taste from doing Sankirtan, or chanting with others, then it purifies your consciousness, gives you a taste for the holy name. And then when you chant japa, you can also get a taste for chanting. So you should get the same taste at both times. Just like, how do you feel when you're on Harinam, Sankirtan? You feel very blissful. Right? You see all the devotees are dancing and then like that. So when you chant your japa, you can also be like that in your mind. Right? In your mind, you can be meditating, you can be dancing. You can be chanting like that, so chant. And you can meditate on Krishna. Is that okay? Okay. Any other point? I can't hear you, so you have to speak up. What does it mean to remember the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya? In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it says that if one remembers Lord Chaitanya, even the most difficult things will become easy. And if one forgets Lord Chaitanya, even the most easy things become difficult. Like that. So, to remember his lotus feet, what does it mean when you remember someone's feet? It means that you are their servant. Because when you offer obeisances to someone, you bow down to their feet, you touch their feet. So that means you're showing that you are submissive to them or you're their servant. So to remember the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya means to remember that you're his servant. Just like we come into the temple, Gaura Nitya is standing there. We bow down to their lotus feet. And then we say, I am your servant. What service do you want me to do? I'm your servant. I just want to serve you. What service do you want me to do? So then they instruct you through their representatives, through the guru and the senior Vaishnavas. They instruct you. And they say, okay, I want you to do, you say, I want to be your servant. And then they say, okay, you serve me like this, you serve me like that. Is that okay? Any other question? Or comment? Srila Prabhupada ki.